Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, Adam McManus. Anchor for our Worldview in 5 minutes program, theworldview.com, is with me in studio. And today, wow, a historic moment for the United States of America. The balance of powers is shifting. And America's been something on a knife edge over the last couple of months, as we didn't know which way America was going to go. And in some sense, we're still on the knife edge. But ultimately, it's going to be God that determines who goes up and who goes down. And granted, there has been a fair amount of confusion, especially when it comes to the integrity of the elections, not just in Georgia, but everywhere around the United States. There has been a significant fall off of any confidence in the democratic process, the American institutions. That's all coming down right now. And the balance of powers appears to be shifting. Now, this is no surprise. You tend to get this. The pendulum swings from the left to the right, back to the left, back to the right. But it seems to me the swings are wilder in the sense that the right is a little more epistemologically self-conscious, self-consistent with its own position, and it appears the left, or the wrong side, or the side at which they want to break every one of God's laws with impunity, that side is also more self-consistent at the same time. Now, as of today, CNN is giving both Georgia seats, both Georgia's U.S. Senate seats, to the Dems, Ossoff and Warnock. The Dems are coming back with a vengeance. Adam?
Well, but it's close. John Ossoff won 50.4% over David Perdue at 49.6%. Raphael Warnock, 50.8% over Kelly Loeffler, the Republican incumbent, at 49.2%. So this was certainly not some kind of landslide. It was a very close race, and some no doubt are suggesting that there wasn't election integrity in this Georgia runoff either. But that being said, it still leaves us with a terrible dilemma. The Democrats effectively control both houses of Congress, the House of Representatives with an 11-vote majority, and the Senate with its 50-50 breakdown. Kamala Harris becoming the vice president-elect has a tie-breaking vote that would enable Democrats to have their way there as well. In other words, their socialist, anti-family, anti-Christian agenda is on the horizon come January 21st.
Well, it is a knife edge. There's no question about it. The entire nation is on a knife edge. The U.S. Senate was right on a 50-50 margin and not sure exactly what was going to happen. And that's where we sit today. But even the elections in Georgia, the last two seats up for grabs for the U.S. Senate were right there on the knife edge. And as you said, it's too close to call, assuming that it was something of an honest election. It's hard to believe that being the case. My guess is those people who can manipulate the vote count could very easily dial in a close call if they wanted to. And, you know, as they saw the votes playing out, they could increase a little here or increase a little there, assuming, of course, that there is dishonesty in the elections. And I think that's an appropriate assumption in a nation that is breaking God's laws constantly. So I think what's going to happen, seems to me what's going to happen, is that the conservatives are losing right now. The Dems are coming back with a vengeance, and they're going to make the conservatives pay for stopping the funding of Planned Parenthood, for the judicial appointments and all the rest. As in, Barack Obama beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions. That would probably be appropriate byline for the Democratic Party at this point. Now, a little history before we take a break. Out of 40 years of American government, out of the last 40 years of American government, 4 years, we had a similar situation. The Democrats controlled the presidency in both houses. So out of 40 years, 4 years of that is what we presumably are going to face in the next 2 years.
Well put.
It happened in 2009 to 2011, the first Barack Obama presidential election. We got Obamacare, enough said. That was probably one of the most significant steps toward socialism this nation has seen since LBJ. So between 2009 and 2011, Obama was president of the United States and the Democrats controlled both houses. Same thing happened between 1993 and 1995. That as I recall, those were the first 2 years for President Bill Clinton, and the Democrats had both houses until the Republican Revolution of 1994. But now, what happened between 1993 and 1995? Well, what happens is you get a lot of socialist legislation that is rubber stamped right through the president and on into government and the bureaucracy. So you got gun control between 1993 and 1995 as the Brady handgun bill came through. The freedom of access to abortion clinics, having those anti-pro-life laws, came through. And the Waco siege happened as well. Some of you may remember those things. So I would say as you face a Democrat socialist revolution, this time with more of a vengeance than what you saw in 2009, what you saw in 1993. I think the Democrats are coming back with a vengeance, and they will make you pay for whatever happened in the last 4 years. So, you know, we are going to face a lot of pushback on the part of the liberal agenda over the next 2 years. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we're back on the Generations radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Adam McManus also with me. And today, my friends, we're looking at a shift of the balance of powers from the conservative side to the liberal side, from the right to the left, from the Republicans to the Democrats. And, wow, they're coming back with a vengeance. The Equality Act, I think you can expect the Equality Act within, what, 6 weeks of President whoever taking over. Assuming
the Orwellian named Equality Act, I might add.
Assuming that he is certified. Assuming that Joe Biden certified, the Equality Act has got to be right around the corner. Now, at this point, CNN is saying we've got two more U.S. senators on the Dem side as of the Georgia runoff election from Tuesday. So, assuming that's the case, with or without Susan Collins, the Dems have the Equality Act. They've got it. The Equality Act does include Susan Collins on the Republican side as one of the sponsors. But right now we're at a 50-50. Now, Susan Collins would make it a 51-50. I'm sorry, a 51-49, because Republicans lose one if Susan Collins walks over across the aisle and votes with the Dems on the Equality Act. But with or without Susan Collins, if you're at a 50-50, which is where you would be on a straight party line vote for the Equality Act, remember, the VP who chairs the Senate can break a tie and put the vote at 51-50. So the VP, Kamala Harris, could do a 51-50 on the vote if Susan Collins chooses not to support the Equality Act. So with or without Susan Collins, it's a done deal. And friends, the Equality Act means the beginning of massive persecution of Christians, probably churches, most certainly schools. This would mark the end of Christian colleges, Christian dorms, Christian schools across the country. This would mark the end of any kind of a baker, photographer who refused to participate in a homosexual celebration. This would mean the end of a lot of Christian businessmen. This would be the end of Christian schools. The Equality Act is the heavy hand of the Neronic agenda, the Nero being the prototype homosexual who engaged in homosexual marriage and then persecuted Christians by burning them as lanterns in his garden. And this is the Neronic agenda. This is where President Joe Biden is going. So let's just remember the Equality Act is right around the corner. If the Dems are coming back with a vengeance, they're coming back with the Equality Act within, what, two months from now. Also, you can expect the reversal of the Hyde Amendment. And, you know, the Hyde Amendment's been strapping the federal government from funding abortion and the shedding of hundreds of millions of gallons of infant blood over the last 35 years. Of course, Planned Parenthood has found a way around it, but I think President Biden, if that be the case, would want to reverse the Hyde Amendment. He said he wants to. I don't think it's going to make much of a difference because 90% of abortions are already funded through abortifacients via Obamacare. And I think the other aspect is the destruction of America. I think the Democrats are going to be more successful at the agenda of destroying America than the Republicans. They tend to be a little bit better at government spending, although the Republicans have done their fair share as well. They're going to probably do their best to bring down the wall, open the borders, and further destroy the schools by gender confusion and by the transgendering of bathrooms and all the rest. And that will probably be enforced upon every single kindergarten and K-12 school across America. It doesn't matter what state's in. Any state that receives any kind of federal funding for education is going to be bound to transgendering the bathrooms and homosexualizing the 6- and 7-year-olds. So that's where America is going,
right,
under the Democratic agenda. So get ready. That's all I'm saying. Get ready.
There was a great column written by Selwyn Duke at the New American entitled "The State as God: Expect Biden-Harris to, quote, go Roman," end quote, on Christianity, a clear reference to the persecution that Nero applied to the Christians. He said, "A hallmark of the left, from the French revolutionaries to our sexual devolutionaries, is the persecution of Christians." And yet, by contrast, one of President Trump's many unrecognized accomplishments, he writes, is that he has stood up for religious liberty more than perhaps any other modern commander-in-chief. And he cites two founding fathers' quotes and one Trump quote that I thought really were powerful. Patrick Henry said, "Bad men cannot make good citizens. It is when a people forget God that tyrants forge their chains." And that's the direction we're headed in this country.
Right.
Benjamin Rush said, "The only foundation for a republic is to be laid in religion." And President Donald Trump said, "A society without religion cannot prosper. A nation without faith cannot endure, because justice, goodness, and peace cannot prevail without the grace of God." And he goes on in this New American piece entitled "The State as God." Selwyn Duke writes, "Although Biden professes to be Catholic, he has already indicated he will once again target religious groups like the Little Sisters of the Poor, as the Obama administration did, in an attempt to force such religious orders to participate in state-funded abortion. Kamala Harris, the soon-to-be vice president, if it's all certified, is an open anti-Catholic bigot. She infamously imposed an unconstitutional religious test on a nominee for the federal bench in 2018 when Brian Boucher was nominated as a district court judge. Harris inveighed against him for being a member of the Knights of Columbus, asking, "Were you aware that the Knights of Columbus opposed a woman's right to choose when you joined the organization?" And Selwyn Duke, with tongue in cheek, says, "To choose what? What clothes to wear? Food to eat?" Obviously, it's referencing abortion. Harris has a long history of attacks on Catholic moral teaching, including her assault on the rights of David Dalyden of the Center for Medical Progress, which had exposed the illegal trafficking of organs from aborted children by Planned Parenthood. But I thought most interestingly, in addition to the Equality Act that's going to be rammed through as the Democrats presumably will have the White House in both houses, is why? Why are they doing this? Well, this is where Selwyn Duke says something I have not seen anywhere, and I thought it was very original thinking. He said, the power mongers want the state they control and not God to be citizens' highest power. They want their laws, not divine ones, preeminent. But this is not the only reason. Much of what man does is governed by emotion, and militant secularists' hatred for Christianity cannot be understood without grasping the passions animating their dark aims. They're people so married to vice, they have no intention of relinquishing it, and emotionally they need to justify, in other words, their own sin. When Christianity says there are sins that are really sins as opposed to lifestyle choices, they don't like it. So because Christianity condemns their dark choices, they condemn Christianity. If Christianity is right, they're wrong. If it reigns, they're rejected. If Christianity wins hearts, they lose votes. Their darkness stands out. And here's the real rub of Selwyn Duke's excellent column at the New American. He says he thought about the third world rebels who would often force boy soldiers to shoot their own parents in these brutal regimes. Make a person commit grave sin against his father, make him betray his basic moral foundation, and he can be disconnected from all that is good. And he says, boy soldiers might be an extreme example, but compelling Christians to violate their principles with action can detach them from their principles and make them more likely to accept or at least tolerate yours. That's the real issue here, isn't it, Kevin?
Yeah, you bet. You bet. Ultimately, it's encouraging Christians to abandon their principles and support an all-knowing state that is in radical autonomy and opposition, rebellion against the true and living God. Well, and that's being supported by a Baptist pastor. And I want to go here because there's some salient quotes from this pastor from Georgia that are important to me. And this is one of the U.S. senators that has been ostensibly elected in Georgia to be the first Democrat senator in a very long time. He's a Baptist pastor.
Raphael Warnock.
Yeah. Warnock, or I always read that as Warlock. It's interesting. When I see the name.
Oh, no.
yeah, it's kind of the look-say thing where I pick it up as Warlock.
Well, for
and
a Baptist
I always shudder
minister,
a little bit when I read his name because I'm thinking, and it turns out that the term Warlock, I think, is probably better.
Yes.
For this guy, just because of his theological perspectives, and I want to get to that in just a moment. His theological perspectives are self-consciously satanic.
Oh, yes.
There's just nothing Christian about
no.
his theology. He's a Satanist in terms of his theology. But this guy Warlock, he claims to be a Baptist. By the way, the old identifiers aren't any good anymore. So you don't walk around going, I'm a Baptist. You don't say that anymore. You don't say, I'm a Baptist or I'm a Presbyterian. People think, what, like Warlock? Or like the PCUSA, the pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, anti-God PCUSA. That's what people are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Or even I'm a Lutheran, like the ELCA that supports abortion as much as they do. So these things, these labels, Baptist, Presbyterian, etc., used to stand for the fact that you had achieved perfection in your view of the mysteries, the sacraments, baptism, the presence of Christ at the Lord's Supper, etc., etc. Somehow you had achieved, perfection in your understanding of the mysteries of the sacraments, or that you followed the right guy like Martin Luther, who had dialed in everything just right. But these labels don't work anymore. Just because you're a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Lutheran and you have the right label doesn't mean you're Orthodox. You could be as off in your theology as Adolf Hitler and still be a Baptist or a Presbyterian.
And by the way, he is the pastor at Ebenezer Baptist Church where Martin Luther King Jr. comes from.
Yeah, and same seminary from what I understand. Warnock is a graduate of Union Theological Seminary, a very bad seminary. It was liberal way back in the 1940s and 50s. It was very, very bad in the 40s and 50s when Martin Luther King attended. And it's still bad. It's very, very bad. Union maintains that it's grounded in Christian tradition, but the student population includes Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Unitarians, and pagans as well.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. It's just a massive polytheistic mess is pretty much what you get at Union Theological Seminary in New York City. But the point I want to get to is what Warnock said when he was asked about abortion. And this is a quote from the now elected senator, quote unquote, "I believe unequivocally in a woman's right to choose, and that the decision is something that we don't want government engaged in. That's between her and her doctor and her minister. I will fight for that in the United States Senate, and at the same time continue to fight so women can receive services, etc." Then he was asked this question on this, I think it was Atlanta-based radio program. "Do you think your view is consistent with God's view, that God endorses the millions of abortions we've had in this country since Roe v. Wade?" So that was the question. Warlock's response was, "I think that human agency and freedom is consistent with my view as a minister." Now, that's really key. That is the satanic theology that has nothing to do with Scripture. You're not going to find that in Scripture.
No.
Pro-choice is supposed to be an act of the free will, and that's what he's saying. He's pro-choice because humans have a right to act according to their own determination of what is right and what is wrong. So this is, you know, ultimate autonomy. This gives humans ultimate autonomy. Now, some segments of Christianity have gone nuts with the concept of free will, and they interpret free will as autonomy to determine good and evil for themselves, or they interpret it that God cannot impose his will upon society, upon humans, that God cannot predestine the free actions of men. So they say, you know, on the one hand, God can't decree and predestine the outcome of events relating to human agency. And they say that humans cannot even determine a good versus evil, right versus wrong, an ethical will. Humans should be able to do that, and God cannot impose his revealed will upon him. In other words, they interpret it that God cannot impose his will, either his decretive will or his revealed will, upon man. And that's the point. That's fundamental humanism at its most basic description. That's it. You want to get to the core of what humanism is, what satanic humanism is, as defined by Satan himself in the garden. You remember what Satan said in the garden: God knows that the minute you eat of it, you will be as gods, determining good and evil for yourself. You will know the good and evil, and you will determine it for yourself. That's the core satanic message that is being propounded by Warlock in this conversation on this radio station. He says human agency freedom is consistent with his view of a woman's right to make a choice concerning whether she should kill her baby or not. You see, this raw humanism, man is sovereign to determine ethics and reality at the same time. So man determines decretive will, and man determines a revealed will that determines what is right and what is wrong. And we don't submit to God, or we don't believe that God is the source of reality in the sense that he decrees what will happen, what will come to pass, and that God is the source of law and has a right and indeed determines what is right and wrong in the ethical context. All right, so that's the theological analysis of Warlock's theology here, and I'll be honest with you, this is about as satanic as you can get, that human agency and freedom allows for man to determine good and evil for himself. It's just about as satanic as you can get.
It is, and he's justifying murder in the womb. Planned Parenthood, not surprisingly, endorsed this candidate and poured $376,986 into his election campaign. That's the amount that Planned Parenthood earns by killing 754 human beings at an average of $500 per abortion. So the abortion business, according to Ryan Baumberger of the Radiance Foundation, kills nearly 1,000 unborn children every day. It's literally all in the day's work, he says. In a tweet, Warnock indicated, quote, "I am a pro-choice pastor," end quote. And he doesn't stop there. He also champions the homosexual agenda as a minister of God, quote unquote, taking pride in his activism along that regard, a total denial of the Creator's biological design for humankind. He says, quote, I am a pro-LGBTQ pastor who understands that no one is free until we are all free, end quote. What's ironic, Kevin, is that he's kind of paraphrasing the famous quote by Fannie Lou Hamer, who said, nobody's free until everybody's free. She was, interestingly, Fannie Lou Hamer, a pro-life adoptive mom, and she had no love for Planned Parenthood. She called abortion genocide in her 1971 speech, Is It Too Late? And so for him to paraphrase Fannie Lou Hamer by injecting his approval as a Baptist minister, no less, of the homosexual agenda, despite clear biblical teaching that homosexual behavior is an abomination, is pretty outrageous.
Yeah, it's not just that he is paraphrasing this other woman. He's paraphrasing Satan and what Satan communicated to Eve in the garden.
Right.
No one is free until we're all free to do everything we want to do.
Exactly.
By the way, would he say the same thing about rape and serial killing? You know, we have all this human agency and freedom, and allows man to do whatever he wants to do, and no one is free until we're all free to do everything we want to do.
Slavery.
So that extends to rape, that extends to serial killing, that extends to every abomination you could ever come up with. Of course, this is Sartorian existentialism as well. And friends, you got to understand the worldview behind this. Now, of course, all you need to do is go to Genesis 3 and discover what Satan told Eve in the garden. It's very tempting. It was the ultimate satanic theology, so to speak, turning Eve into her own goddess so she could make the choice for herself and not submit herself to the law of God, the commandment of God. And that's precisely what John Paul Sartre was doing when he insisted that men must be able to make free, unrestrained, authentic, self-originated choices by putting himself in the ultimate position to determine what is good and what is evil. Somehow he would be able to determine his own existence and then define his own reality. If he defined his own ethics, then he could define his own existence and defend his own reality. And that's the whole point of John Paul Sartre's existentialism. And the free choice movement is big when it comes to choosing to kill babies. You take charge of your own life. You determine your own systems of right and wrong. And you don't want any baby to constrict that. You don't want God's law to constrict that. You don't want human systems, human governments to constrict that. That's why the pro-abortion movement is the pro-choice movement, because it's demonic and because it's rooted in satanic teaching and Sartre's existentialism, essentially. He was pro-choice. That was what Sartre's existentialism was all about, that man makes unrestrained, authentic choices without any imposition upon him by any human tradition or by any god of any sort. You take charge of your own life, you determine your own systems of right and wrong, and of course, this leads to determining your own sexual orientation, your own gender, your own species, and everything else about you. So people pretend to be God. They pretend that they can predestine their own salvation, they pretend that they can come up with their own laws, they pretend they can recreate or redefine their gender, their species, turn themselves into a dog if they want to, and thus take the place of the Creator. This is the leftist agenda. This is the satanic theology that showed up in the garden, and this guy Warnock or Warlock truly represents the doctrine of the first church of Satan in the garden. I mean, it seems to be one of the most self-conscious presentations of it that I've seen, and mm-hmm. It's interesting it's coming out of a Baptist church. That to me is interesting.
It is. Pastor Warnock, as a black man, should know better than champion the primary group that has killed more black babies in his home state of Georgia than any other, which is Planned Parenthood. In fact, in Georgia, Kevin, 63% of the state's 30,656 abortions in a given year are on black babies. 63%. He will drone on and on about white supremacy, says Ryan Bomberger of the Radiance Foundation, a black man himself, while standing in solidarity with the very organization, Planned Parenthood, that embodies white supremacy because they've killed so many black babies.
Well, friends, we're just about out of time on this, but be sure that you understand worldviews. As, you know, you get to a man's self-consciously theological foundations as expressed in these interviews. Just really pull that out and say, okay, well, what is this theology? And to contrast that with a biblical theology. And sadly, it seems to me that there must be hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of quote-unquote professing Christians, doesn't matter their color, but they go for guys like Warnock in an election because they don't realize they're voting for somebody who is aligning himself with Satanist theology at its most raw and most fundamental description. So, friends, that's it, and I encourage you to be strong in your understanding of worldviews and how they have impacted our thinking in the modern day. That's why I encourage you to my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. It turns out that some of the most dangerous men that exist are pastors and those who have apostatized from the true Christian faith. And certainly we see that in the state of Georgia, but my book, Apostate, actually points out that a fair percentage, in fact, almost every single instance in which there was a philosopher that had influence upon the Western world and the destruction of the Western world, they had a Christian background. They were baptized in a Christian church. John Paul Sartre himself was the product of six generations of Calvinist pastors and then turned away from the faith. And he's just one example of that. But I give all the examples of these horrendous men. I call them the Nephilim, the men who brought such destruction upon the entire world in the 20th century, but largely because they had turned away from the Christian faith and done unspeakable damage to the entire world as a consequence. The story is told in Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. And you can get that book at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.